So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Man fans. Ollie Man here with The Modern Man. And in this episode, we're going to tell a truly magical Christmas story. It's the tale of one man with a dream and the people from across the world who helped him turn a silly Christmas song into an official bona fide hit. It's also the story of how you, yes, you, did something wonderful this time last year and helped improve the lives of hundreds of children in the process. This is the story of Pod Aid, how to write a Christmas hit. Let's go. And Ollie Pitt is with me. Happy Christmas, Ollie.
Happy Christmas.
We are here to revisit a significant moment in the annals of Modern Man history, I think.
Yeah, for sure. In each episode of The Modern Man, I get set challenges to test out trends. I've had my brain fried, I've had a sound bath, and I've built an escape room. And they usually take me about a week, give or take.
Yeah.
But this time last year, I was set a challenge that would take me 10 weeks.
Yes, we chucked you right in the shit. Let's travel back in time. Picture the scene. It's October 2018, and this happens.
Week one.
Jim Taylor says, having met Ollie last summer when he saw me playing with Reverend and the Makers, I would like to suggest a musical challenge for your little ginger genius.
A musical.
His challenge for you is to write a Christmas song. You a fan of the Christmas Hit Parade, Ollie?
No, I hate Christmas.
Well, that's your title right away, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, fine.
Everyone would want to hear the Ollie Pitt Christmas single.
Of course I would.
So the idea is, now we're aware this is a difficult thing for you to pull together in a week, so that's why you have a while. The idea is that over the next few weeks you can update us on your progress. We're going to try and help you along the way and put you in touch with people who might be able to help you write and produce and actually put together a Christmas song that we're going to try and make available by the end of this series. Okay?
Yeah, I suppose.
Week two.
I spoke to a chap called Chris Lockery, who has investigated the science behind the perfect Christmas song. So he's broken down all of the, not all of the Christmas songs, but a large swathe of them, and looked for key elements to each of those songs that make them a successful Christmas song. And he gave me a few top tips. So,
call mid-year and fuck off.
No, he was really helpful. He said almost all Christmas songs, without exception, are in a major key.
Yeah, well, happy time of year, isn't it?
Don't sound so like, oh yeah, well, I knew that.
No, I'm not. I mean, there are occasionally like morose Christmas number ones, aren't they? Like, was that one that was the Tears for Fears cover? Yeah,
I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad.
Yeah, good voice.
Yeah,
but was that a Christmas song or just a Christmas number one?
Oh, I see. Yeah, like Stay Another Day. That's a song that just happened to come out at Christmas time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it was a Christmas number one.
Both kind of right.
Christmas songs in a major key.
Anyway,
fine.
This is a Christmas song. It's got to be in a major key. So this is going to be in a major key.
Yeah.
So next thing was I asked him about was instrumentation. What's going to be in there? Three things: jingle bells.
Yes.
Chimes.
Yes.
And tambourines.
Okay.
He then asked me what type of Christmas song that I wanted to do, so what genre, because he said there are three main genres of Christmas song.
Thrash metal.
Carols.
Yeah.
Jazz style.
Really?
Yeah.
Like so, what?
Chestnuts roasting. And you... That's jazz, right?
Sure. And what's the third category?
Pop.
Pop, yes.
Yeah, pop.
I think let's go pop.
And then the last thing was the time signature. So I just assumed could pop song 4/4. But what, Chris?
Wow, actual musical vocabulary going on.
I'm a drummer.
I'm not. So, like, I don't know what a time signature is, really. I know it's to do with how many beats are in a song.
Well, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Uh-huh. But what Chris has said, if you want a successful Christmas song, is 12/8.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but I'm excited by that factoid.
So it's kind of like a Bavarian type umpah time signature. So it's like do, 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 Christmas time, Christmas time, do 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 do. It's a bit like that. It's like Ploddy.
Wow, that's a hit.
No, but that
already.
Sounds bad.
No, I mean, you've got the chorus.
But you know what I mean? That kind of sounds quite Christmassy, right?
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what it sounded like a bit when you just did that. It sounded like the one that goes...
Yeah, exactly.
But it didn't sound like Band-Aid or Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
No.
I would go pop music with an umpapa bridge.
Yeah. I'm not going to go full on Bavarian and right. Put the bloody lederhosen on.
Sure.
I'm going to just have that as the time signature with some kind of like, you know, jingles, a major key with an umpah kind of rhythm to it. It's going to be sexy, going to be loud. It's going to look great, sound great. And you're going to love it. It's going to be great.
So, Ollie, here we are a year later listening back to all of that. How does it make you feel?
Well, it's odd, isn't it? Because... back then, we didn't know anything. We didn't know where we were going to go from there.
Well, it was just a challenge on the show being played for laughs, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I'll be frank with you. I didn't think that we would follow it up in the other weeks. I thought it would be just the end of it and that'd be game over.
You didn't think at this point we were heading towards a destination where we'd actually have a decent Christmas song that would get released as a charity single? That was...
No, because we had
fantasy.
We had 9 weeks to do it, so it was basically impossible with my skills.
And then?
Well, then one of our listeners, Arian, got in touch and said, hey, you should get in touch with this guy called Philip Mark Anquetel.
Who's an actual record producer.
Like a proper, actual one. He's worked with famous people and everything.
Yeah, because usually when listeners get in touch and say, have you spoken to, it's their mate from the pub who's not particularly an expert, or they'll say something really helpful like, have you considered interviewing Bill Gates?
Yeah.
But this was actually someone who knew what they were talking about who wasn't on our radar.
Exactly. He'd worked with One Direction, Tiny Temper, Little Mix. So I thought, well, we've got to get in touch with this guy.
But he was in Australia, so you interviewed him via Skype.
Yeah.
And we're about to play the phone conversation. This has never been played on the show before. Mm-hmm. This is what was happening behind the scenes. What did you ask him?
Well, I said to him all of the things I learned from Chris. You know, for it to be a decent Christmas song, it needs to be in a 12-8 time signature. It needs to have jingle bells, and it's got to be in a major key.
Three golden rules.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. But then he said, there's one important thing that you have to do first.
We need the one key line. I'm like constantly trying to find the key line. Now, the key line is really, really important to any song. Like, not only to a Christmas song, but to any song. It's a really efficient line. And it's a line that says everything that you want to say about the song in one line.
Okay.
So basically, you don't even have to listen to one other lyric in the song. We can actually test that theory out. Literally gibberish and then one key line.
And what would be what's an example of that?
Adele. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. So that key line is simple words. They're really simple words. But if you deconstruct them, all of a sudden you've created the whole story in your head from that one line. So she's not with someone anymore that she used to be with. Okay? She's not with them anymore. She still wants to be with them, even though she can't. But then she's trying to convince herself that it's okay, I'll find someone like you. But she probably knows she never will. Actually, she never will. Okay?
Yeah.
And this is all in her. She's like, I'm feeling a bit sorry for herself, actually making everyone else feel sorry about her. You know, all of those things come into like in just that one little line. So you created that whole story out of that one little line.
That's what we need.
Like, find that first. If you find that, like, your job is like half done.
Week three.
He was like, you need to get yourself a hook line. When the only way you can get yourself a hook line is by free writing. And free writing is where you time yourself for like 10 minutes and you just write. So you know you're writing for a Christmas song and you're not allowed to be disturbed. You can't stop. You just got to go. So that's what I did. Here's a bit from like a couple of lines in. Christmas is a time to be with people, to listen to people, to hear people. That's a question for some reason. Christmas is about communicating. No, it isn't. What a load of shit. Okay, so snow, animals like deer or whatever. Sounds like Christmas. It sounds like Christmas time. Yes, right. Christmas is a time full of shit and bollocks. Stuff that doesn't really matter. What we need is to listen carefully to the sound of Christmas time. This is the time to listen to Christmas. Put on your headphones and listen to Christmas.
I quite like that. I quite like that. This is the time to listen to Christmas. Put on your headphones and listen to Christmas. That's quite fun for a chorus. The rest of it, I'm not convinced about, I'll be honest.
So I've sent all of that to Phil, and hopefully he won't run away. And the idea is that he'll look at it and he'll make a song.
2 weeks later.
Breaking news.
We have a Christmas song. So Philip recorded this on his phone,
uh-huh.
but you have to try and imagine, this is what he said to me, imagine this being Ollie Murs singing it.
Right.
Just have that in your head.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you The Sounds of Christmas, written by Philip Mark Anquetil and Ollie Peart.
Oh, piano led. I like it.
Get out of my lonely bed in the morning. Radio's on about global warming. Rain is pelting down on the street. It's beginning to sound a lot like Christmas time. And you're still not mine.
That's a great key change.
Love a key change. You're bopping your head.
Be nearly a year, I keep hearing your voice. Hate silent nights, but I'd have no choice. The light of the fire, mull the wine. Null down a few to forget Christmas time.
I feel like I've heard this before, even though I haven't.
Cause you're still not mine.
I know what you mean. I'm already choreographing the dance moves.
So how am I supposed to move on and forget? Cause all I want for Christmas is inside my head. So turn off the carols, unjingle the bells.
You're enjoying it.
It's good.
You're smiling.
Unjingle the bells. That's a good lyric.
Good lyric.
Don't light any fireworks, it hurts like hell. Cause Christmas reminds me of you.
I like it. It's got a kind of Paul Williams meets Scouting for Girls vibe.
The sounds of Christmas remind me of you.
That's really good.
That is the bit at the end as well, right? So you've got a crush on someone at the office. That's the bit where you make eyes and say, come on, let's have a little kiss.
Oh, the Christmas party.
Christmas kiss.
That's where you make the ill-advised move, isn't it?
It's the Love Actually moment. That's what it is.
So reluctantly, I have to say, in all honesty, you have succeeded at this challenge because the simple task was, can you write a Christmas song? There's a question mark over whether you really have written this, but that is a Christmas song and you were involved in the writing process, so well done.
First of all, there's no question as to whether I've written it or not. I have, and yes, you are right to say that, but we're only halfway through the series, so I've had this fixation on number one.
Some might say obsession.
Yeah,
some might say unhealthy, weird, paranoid obsession.
Ed Sheeran, he only sold 85,397 records to get to Christmas number one last year.
Yes.
I cannot get that figure out of my head. That is a completely achievable number.
Well, it might be achievable if you had Ed Sheeran singing that song, but we don't. I mean, we don't even have Ollie Murs. We have Ollie Peart. So how would you sell that many records?
We are part of a podcast network called Acast, right?
Yeah.
And Acast have 20 million downloads every single month.
Uh-huh.
I want to harness that power, that audience, that demographic to help us.
How? You're not going to get My Dad Wrote a Porno or Adam Buxton to be talking about buying this single on their show. So how are you going to harness the network?
Pod Aid.
Go on.
Well, the idea is that we get all of the podcasters that we know, as many as we can get, and we give them a line in the song to sing. And so they all become part of the track. And then we use that power to drive it to number one. Can you just imagine? I'm being serious now. 85,397 and there are 20 million downloads a month. The podcast community, I'm telling you, we have the power. And it's been done before. As in, not with podcasting, but like to get around the traditional means of getting to number one. So Rage Against the Machine, right?
Yeah, that was like the anti-X Factor number one,
wasn't exactly.
Yeah, and that was Facebook, basically.
Yeah, it's an online petition.
And no one's done it really with podcast audiences. That is true.
And if there's one thing we know about podcast audiences, they're very loyal.
Yeah, but they're not deaf, crucially.
You've heard the song.
No. The song's good. I'm not criticising the song that you definitely wrote. What I'm saying is you singing it might still be an issue. And actually, you're saying Pod Aid, so you get all different podcasters to sing a line, and that's fun. I get it. But I'm a podcaster of some prominence. If someone came to me and Helen on Answer Me This and said, sing this line of this song, we'd sing it out of tune and it wouldn't be very pleasant to listen to. And that sounded a bit out of our range.
Well, I thought about that, which is why I got back to Phil and said, can we make it so it's suitable for multiple voices? Can we change it somehow? Can we maybe make it a little bit more comedic, a little bit lighthearted, so that it doesn't necessarily matter if somebody's got a good voice or not?
Like the Comic Relief charity thing.
Yeah, a little bit. Style. Like a mashup of Comic Relief and Band-Aid, right?
Uh-huh.
And he agreed.
Bagsy Bono. Can I be Bono?
You can if you want.
But I want to be singing the line, put on your headphones and listen to Christmas, which isn't in there.
I'll tell you what. I will say this now. You can have whatever line you want.
Okay.
But he went away and he sent me an updated version of this track.
Okay.
Do you want to have a listen?
Yes.
Get out of my lonely bed in the morning. Radio's on about global warming. Rain is melting down.
Got some driving production behind it now.
Do you feel like clicking?
Christmas time.
It's got the jingle bells.
I think they're chimes, actually.
The earlier year I keep hearing your voice now. Hate silent nights, but I have no choice now. Light the fire, mull the wine, I'll down a few to forget Christmas time. So how am I supposed to...
There's a 12-8.
This is better than the Mel Smith version of Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree already, and that still gets airplay.
So turn off the carols and jingle the bells. Let's boil the chestnuts in stew. Don't light any fire.
You were humming! You were humming!
It's great. It's an upbeat, pathos Christmas song, and it doesn't have the word faggot in it, unlike the other pathos song that everyone likes at Christmas.
And
bonus.
And if you remember my spaffing, and this is me, you know, clawing at that writing credit, you know, it was borderline angry.
Yeah, he's very much boiled down the gist of what you put and put it into something palatable, but maybe there's a genus there. Okay, so what happens next? You want to get a load of podcasters to sing a line each.
Yeah, this is where the real work happens, right? So we need to get in touch with them all. It's a lot of emailing. And basically,
when you say we, this is your baby.
No, you've taken this. Listen,
no.
You said it yourself.
No,
you're a prominent podcaster.
I did not say that I was going to help you in any way.
No, I'm telling you, you're going to help me.
Well, how?
Well, you're going to use your gravitas.
Am I now?
Yes.
And what's in it for me? I mean, this is your challenge.
Oh, yeah, that's it. In the spirit of Christmas, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? We're going to give money to charity for it, Ollie.
Oh, you didn't mention that.
Well, you know, Pod Aid, I think that we should do something for charity. We shouldn't just, it shouldn't just be some kind of ego trip whereby we all become uber famous.
It's the carrot they dangle in front of everyone when you can't be bothered to do the work, isn't it? It's for charity. You can't say no when it's for charity, can you?
Good to know that you're on board then.
So at this point, we are midway through Ollie's Christmas song challenge. Will Ollie get anyone signed up to sing? Which charity will be chosen to get the royalties? At this point, we assume that would be about 10 pence. Find out after we say thank you to the sponsor of this bonus Christmas episode, Beer 52.
Yeah, they're amazing. They basically deliver beer to your door.
Yeah. Do you like beer? Do you like doors? Well, have we got a company that you should know about? It's not just any beer, is it? It's craft beer. They're craft beer experts.
Yeah, it's craft beer from different places around the world. And it also comes with a magazine, which within its page...
It's amazing how every time you plug your column, you manage to come across a completely
inarticulate. I wasn't actually going to talk about my column. I was going to say...
Within which is the phrase you're looking for?
No. I was genuinely just going to say the nice flavour notes in there.
Oh, okay. Fine. Go on then.
Within which you'll find flavour notes for each of the beers that you get. So you can, you know, memorise those and then sound like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And then possibly go and buy that beer again. That's the idea, isn't it? You check out the brewery and stuff. Although, to be honest, genuinely, I know this sounds like an advert, and indeed they have paid for this segment.
Mm-hmm.
But real piece of content here. I never go anywhere else for my beer now because I'm very happy with the selections they send me in the post. They are delicious.
It is very good.
So they are the UK's number one craft beer club. You can get a free box of beer. You get 8 of them delivered to your door for free for listening to this episode of The Modern Man. All you need to do is go to beer52.com/man. That's beer, the number 5, the number 2.com/MANN and get your free case now. You do have to put in your credit card information. That's so that you can join their membership. You can cancel that at any point after you have your free case. All you need to pay is the £2.95 postage and packing.
Oh, and I write a column for the magazine.
Yeah, we all have to pay by reading that. and if you want to get your order in time for Christmas,
You're too late.
Here's a deadline. No, you're not. Well, you probably are too late. Oh. It depends when you're listening.
Yeah.
It's December the 17th, 2019.
Oh, okay.
So if you're listening to this episode on the day it came out or the day afterwards, it's just about not too late. if you've just downloaded this episode on the day of release, head now to beer52.com/man to get a free case of beer in time for Christmas.
And my magazine.
Your magazine it is
but no,
now,
no, 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 but
it?
Just my column. Come on, you want to read that on Christmas Day?
Cut out the columns and stick it to your wall. Okay, back into our journey through Christmas music. And week six now. Ollie has only just worked out he's got to get the whole record ready within 2 weeks if it's going to be out in time for the big day. Leading to this question.
Week six.
How are we going to get this made in well, 2 weeks' time?
We need all the help we can get, Ollie, frankly. Couple of things. So a chap called Joseph, at Suddenly Joseph on Twitter, he's tweeted in. He said, at the Modern Man, track is great. Loves the track.
It is good.
Because I wrote it.
That's right.
But the computerised instruments won't perform well in the charts. I think he's got a point here.
Well, yeah, it was a demo, wasn't it, that we played out?
And what we're looking for is listeners who are professional musicians that have the ability to record at home.
Right.
At quality.
So, hold on. Has Philippe in Australia sent you a backing track that they can play along to?
Yeah.
So, if you're listening to this and you, like Joseph, play an instrument and would like to play on the finished version...
Yes.
...we'll send you the backing track so that you can send in your instrumentation. Is that right?
That's right. The only one you can't is drums, because I'm going to do that.
Someone has been in touch, Ollie.
This doesn't sound good. Who is it? Phil Collins? You can fuck off if it is.
It's Tom Meadows, you know, the Kylie's drummer.
Oh, my God.
We gave him a shout-out on the show a few weeks ago, and he got in touch and said, hi, Ollie, as a thank you for your kind support, I'd like to play the drums on your Christmas single.
So is that... What do I get? Fucking
well,
chimes.
To give you your own words back at you, it's for charity, Ollie. And I think I have to make the business decision that probably Kylie's drummer is better than you.
You just said, I want the best line, I'm Bono. I am having...
Okay, no. If Bono gets in touch and wants to be on our single, Bono can have my life.
That's fine.
That's
but I'm
the
getting
business
a rap,
decision.
I'm getting a rap segment. I want to be able to rap then. If he's... I want to do something that's of percussive.
Okay.
And I definitely want a line.
Let's try and find you something that's less culturally appropriating but still plays to your talents.
This is what always happens to writers. They write something and then they just get sidelined.
I get the whole joke. Yeah, you co-wrote it. The fact
it's
you're actually defining yourself as a writer.
We can go back. We can pick apart my ramblings. Go through Phil's lyrics. My song.
Now, what was great was, at this point, Ollie, lots of people did get in touch, didn't they?
Yeah, we had all sorts. Pianists, trumpeters, choirs, and the whole lot sort of just became a little bit overwhelming by that
stage. Yeah, it was more than you expected.
It was a huge amount. And that's when we had to take a step back for a minute, be realistic, and start to lean on some of our behind-the-scenes team to actually get this done.
You're using the royal we. You mean it's when you decided... that this wasn't going to be something you could do by yourself.
Well, it was a huge, you know, it was a monumental undertaking. So there were a few things that we had to do in order to meet the deadline. You know, we only had a couple of weeks to get this song out. So we pitched a rough version of the song around initially because we needed a record label to get this thing out there. At one stage, Sony were interested in the record.
Really?
Yeah.
But in the end, we ended up releasing with AWOL, didn't we? Which is like, it's kind of like self-publishing. It's like one step up from that.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason we did that is because of the tight turnaround time. Sony would need to, you know, get loads of cardboard cutouts of us made and that kind of stuff. It would have just taken ages. So producer Matt's wife, Louise, had to get involved with that because even though we were releasing independently, there's a huge amount of admin that comes with that as well. So we needed somebody to do it. I'm not doing admin. I'll get it wrong for a start.
So this is to do with like copyright and making sure all the legal stuff's been done.
Absolutely.
And then in terms of actually getting podcasters on the record as well, you were roping in my contacts, Matt's contacts too.
Yes.
But I guess there must have been moments where you weren't sure it was all going to come together and people were going to get their vocals across to you in time.
Yeah. So I roped yourself and Alex in to lay down your vocals to make sure that we absolutely had something.
And you'd sang a little bit too.
Of course, I'm star of the show.
Let's revisit that magnificent track.
Week seven.
So how am I supposed to move on and forget? 'Cause all I want for Christmas is inside my head. So turn off the carols and jingle the bells. Let's boil the chestnuts in stew. Don't light any fireworks, it hurts like hell. 'Cause Christmas reminds me of you. Oh, the sounds of Christmas remind me of you.
I mean, that is a special vocal.
I'm a special guy.
So at this point, we are a couple of weeks away from finalising the song itself.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one important detail missing. Do you remember what that was, Ollie?
It was the charity.
It was. So we'd put together a charity single without knowing who the charity was that we were going to benefit.
Yeah, and in my defence, I was busy, you know, sorting out all the other stuff, making sure we had all the vocals and everything.
And you did have some ideas, actually, of charities we could support. But I wanted, really, to try and support a smaller charity if we could, because I felt that chimed really well at Christmas time with podcast listeners and podcasters. And at that moment, coincidentally, on my desk landed an email from listener Martin, who'd set up a charity in the name of his son Samuel. It's called Samuel's Charity. And he wrote to me asking if I could come along and interview him as a middle feature for the show about his experiences setting up a charity. He didn't know that I had in the back of my mind, this is the perfect cause for us to contribute to.
Yeah, and it was this interview that you're about to hear a clip of that changed everything. Because it wasn't just about creating a song, it was about helping Samuel's charity.
Yeah, I went to meet Martin and I asked him about the origins of Samuel's charity.
We were getting things for the wards, like a toaster, mugs, spoons. We were asking the nurses and the other parents what we needed. You know, we raised some money through Facebook and then we were like, we've got some money, what do we do with it? We knew the food was awful. But just buying teaspoons, there was a toaster that had broken that was a, you know, often toast was one of the things that kids wanted to eat. Coffee, I think we got for the parents just so we could make it through the day. Little things like that to start with.
It must have felt like quite empowering because even though it's a small thing, buying a toaster, you have no control over your child's condition and the chemotherapy is not working.
Yeah.
This is something you can do.
Yeah. A lot of the time you were... You felt helpless as a parent. I mean, your job is to look after your children. And you felt like a particular failure when your kids are ill and you can't do anything about it. There's a certain type of guilt that you often feel that you should have done something different or better. And that if it hadn't been you as a parent, then they wouldn't be in this position.
What do you mean? I mean, how could that possibly...
It's an irrational guilt. It's not rational. It's just you constantly think, maybe if I'd done this or I hadn't done that, maybe if I'd seen it sooner, if I'd been a better parent, if I'd been more aware, I could have caught this quicker. Maybe if I'd known more, I could have done more. You look into their eyes and you know they're just pleading with you, take this pain away. Stop this. And when you can't do anything about it, rationality isn't of any use. You just feel like you're helpless. And you blame yourself.
How old was Samuel when he died?
He was 9. It had only taken about 5 months. 5 and a bit. From the time that we went into hospital to when he passed away, I felt like the whole world was behind a pane of very thick smoke glass. I was in the world, but I really didn't feel like I was of that world. There was my daughter, and I still looked after her 50% of the time, because not long after Sam got ill, myself and my wife split up. So the time I had with Evie was my only contact, the only relationship that I felt was really strong, because it was there every day.
And of course you've got to talk to your daughter about it.
That was the worst day of my life. I came back from the hospital the next day and I'd asked everyone not to say anything to her, and I sat her down and I just said to her, your brother's passed away, he won't be back. She got it. She was just at that age where she understood what was going on. And you could see there was a sadness in her and a way that she'd changed. Because even though Sam didn't live with us, he'd come down every other weekend with me. She idolised him, the bigger brother. He loved her to bits as well. I mean, it was the day after I told my daughter that Sam had gone, you fall apart.
I mean, I've not lost... The closest person to me that I've lost is my father. And the experience that I have of grief with that, although it's different because at some point you expect your parents to die, albeit my father died very suddenly and I wasn't expecting it at that moment, is the thing everyone says of 3 months later, 4 months later, you know he's dead and yet suddenly you find yourself wanting to tell him something on the phone or you think he's about to walk in the room. I imagine that's the thing that's hardest. You wake up and you forget for a moment and then you remember.
Yeah. The normal things that you do, birthday parties is a classic one. There's a chair that's empty. You expect to see him there. Or Christmas. All these little things that you just turn around and you expect that seat to be filled and it's not. Sometimes it just catches you, you know. Sometimes on the street you're walking along and you see someone and you think, it's almost natural to go, oh, it's Sam. And that's not him. It's somebody else. And even though he would be 14 now, blimey. There was, not long ago, only a month ago actually, Evie is now older than him. That wasn't a day I told anybody about. I didn't want to tell her, especially. You just don't know how that's going to affect them. And, you know, I don't want to add anything more to it.
This is something that obviously you still want to talk about. You wrote to us and said you want to talk about
this.
But I imagine it's something your colleagues, your friends, your family don't want to talk to you about. No. They don't know what the parameters are.
No. When it first happens, quite a few people don't get it. It's one of the things I go to a bereaved parents group in Milton Keynes, and it's one of the things that comes up all the time. One day on or a decade on, people have trouble talking about it. You're right, the parameters are unknown about it unless you've been there. And if you've been there, then it is a club that nobody wants to join. You understand what it is. Only because you've gone through that time of losing something that you never thought would happen. Like you said, with your parents, you expect it hurts. I bet it hurts like hell. I've been very lucky. I haven't lost my parents. But it happens and you think about them. And even my dad thinks of his mum and dad. And he talks about them and has a chat with them. And it's gorgeous. But you still see there's a sadness there. But 5 years on from losing a child, no, people think you've got over it. You moved on. People think it hurts to bring it up, or that they don't know what to say, or how to say it. Some people are great. In fact, the person that was the best was a nephew, not long after Sam had died, and with all the other adults saying, oh, how are you doing? You know, what can I do for you? I'm there for you. You know, all these nice thoughts, but not hugely useful. One nephew, 14-year-old, came up and said, he just gave me a hug and said, I'll never know what you're going through, but I'm here if you need me. And I think that was probably the best thing somebody said to me. Because they don't know what you're going through, and I don't want somebody to try and feel what I'm going through, because they're not going to get it. And I don't want them to even put themselves in that position.
At what point after he died did you decide to carry on the charity?
I was doing it a few weeks after. It didn't really stop. People were saying, oh, I'd love to help in some way. How can we do this? And we'd already planned this Tough Mudder. So we come along to that.
The assault course?
Yep. I did that in the October. Sam passed away in the January and it had been planned for the October. So that we'd already planned that the year before.
The thing about doing a Tough Mudder is the narrative is, look at me, I'm this bereaved dad, but look, I'm superhuman, I can do this amazing thing. And actually what you're describing is someone who doesn't feel like that.
No. I knew what Sam was going through was awful. And I just wanted to go to do something that was tough as well. It wasn't about being superhuman. I felt so guilty that I was sitting there and he was going through that, and I would have done anything to switch places. And you almost want to put yourself through something, so there's an almost a small, minute connection that you're going through something tough, and you can almost have a little bit of solidarity about that.
And what about people listening to this who say, aren't there already charities for, essentially, children who have cancer, for brightening up wards? Aren't there already charities that support people who are terminally ill? Why give money to a small, specific charity?
Yeah, there are loads of charities. There's loads of amazing charities. But there are so many wards that have no support. And we didn't realise this until we were in one of them. We also help individual children where their parents can't help them. Sometimes we'll buy them a final wish or a gift if they're very ill or terminally ill. And that's because a nurse or a health professional refer them to us. But the majority of the time is with people come to us saying that they need support on a ward. And it's word of mouth that's done this. And we have to limit at the moment how many wards we can help because we have very limited funds. We've raised £200,000 in the last 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, but when you put it in perspective, it costs to redecorate a ward. It's £150,000 for a decent-sized ward. One of the biggest things we see is that even within a hospital, there'll be wards that have got a lot of support and there'll be wards that have none. There may be a ward where a famous person, their child's been looked after there and they put their name towards it and they get lots of support. Down the corridor, there's a ward where they can't afford to buy pens and paper and paint. Those are the wards that we help. And there's too many of them.
Well, you might be aware, I know because you are a Man fan, that we are running this ridiculous challenge on the show at the moment. Ollie Pitt is trying to get to Christmas number one. We have this charity single without a charity at the moment. Would you allow us to donate the proceeds to you?
Thank you. That would be fantastic.
Chances are it'll be about 300 quid, but, you know, every little helps.
Yep.
And we'd really like to support your charity.
Thank you. And the song is pretty good as well, by the way.
Isn't it?
It is.
I had to eat my words.
I was humming along at the same time as you last. It was very good. I was impressed by that.
Okay, Man fans. So we have the charity and we have the song. Now we just need your money. What could your money, buying our Christmas single, raise for Samuel's charity?
Even £300 raised makes a big difference. We'll buy a tablet for a ward or some tablets, and they'll loan them out to the kids, because a lot of kids that don't have their own tablets.
Sure.
And that transforms their day from distraction, so that when they're having an injection or they're having some horrible set of medicine, they can be watching a film, and before they know it's done. We pay for Netflix on many wards, so they've got, you know, sign-ins that the nurses look after, so there's always something for them to watch.
But here's the thing. If we want to be ambitious, it would be amazing to buy Samuel's charity an AccuVane. Here's Martin explaining what one of those is used for.
Now, an AccuVane is a handheld scanner that shows your veins. So it's about the size of a really big mobile phone. And it's just a light that you shine on the skin, but it shows every single vein. And what that means is that you can have an injection done first time, every time. This one piece of equipment transforms a child's ward. That £4,000 is probably the best £4,000 I spend whenever I get the chance to, because not only does it cut down on the pain across a ward, and some wards use them 20-30 times a day, it is the smiles and the knowledge that you know that you've done something, not just on the "that was nice, they've got something that looks nice, it's fun to play with," but medically you've really helped.
Okay, so you've quantified this for us. Yeah. 300 quid, realistic target, that would be nice.
Fantastic.
If we can get to £4,000.
Wow.
That would make a difference.
That would be an AccuVane for a child's ward, which would change that whole children's ward.
Okay, if Ollie Pitt's listening to this, that should give him the kick up the arse he needs.
Absolutely,
Ollie. £4,000. Martin Lieb from Samuel's Charity. And that was just a clip of the conversation. Do check out the whole interview on our podcast feed. The episode is called The Empty Seat. And it was that pledge drive from 2018 which was a real shot in the arm for Ollie's mission to create a Christmas hit. Still to come, find out what happened when The Sounds of Christmas was released, and we'll have an update from Martin on just how much money we made.
Week 8.
What podcasters are in the final lineup? Can you reveal this now?
I can. I can also reveal that the collective term for this group of podcasters is, of course, the Podcast All-Stars.
That's good, because I guess legally Pod Aid was a bit problematic anyway.
Yeah, because we'd have Bono over, smashing our face in.
And Podcast All-Stars, it promises a lot. Who have you got?
We've got The Modern Man, obviously.
Yeah.
Deborah Francis White from The Guilty Feminist.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Benjamin Partridge of the Beef and Dairy, Beef and Dairy Network podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Martin from Answer Me This.
I've heard of him.
Imriel Morgan from Wannabe. Stuart Goldsmith of The Comedian's Comedian.
And the How to Be a Dad episodes of this podcast, of course.
Craig Parkinson from Two Shot Podcast.
Oh, that's the guy from Line of Duty.
Yeah.
He listens to the show. He came up to me at the British Podcast Awards and he started talking to me all about the interview we did with Craig Jones, the wildlife photographer.
Oh.
Anyway.
Do you think he looks like Bradley Cooper? A little bit.
Craig Jones, the wildlife photographer, or Craig Parkinson?
No, Craig Parkinson.
No.
We've got Maeve McClenahan from the Tip Off podcast, and we've got Danielle, Margaret, and Michael from Do the Right Thing.
Have you? Daniel Ward's on it.
Daniel Ward.
Good. That's not a bad, very solid lineup. How'd you get all their voices on the track?
For Do the Right Thing, producer Matt went along and they recorded it in their dressing room just before they did their live show.
Wow. So they were doing as a warm up for their show. They were singing The Sounds of Christmas.
Brilliant warm up, isn't it?
Okay.
But for the rest of them, they just use their podcast setups. There's the advantage of using podcasters. They've already got microphones and recording equipment. So you just go, oi, can you just, you know, and they do.
They're not used to singing, though. This is Alex was very worried about this when we recorded her vocal last week.
But Alex surprised me with her singing voice. Maybe she sings in the shower.
We know what she gets up to in the shower, Ollie. She talked about it extensively on the show. Right, well, I consider my appetite whetted. But before we hear the song, I should say we're not going to hear the whole song.
No.
We're going to hear 1 minute and 30 seconds of it.
Yes.
What's the thinking behind that?
Well, firstly, we want people to go out and buy it. So if we play the whole thing, people just listen to the podcast over and over again, couldn't they? We don't want
a plausible scenario.
We want them to go out. We want them to go out, spend the money.
Yes.
Buy the record, because that's what counts, and that's going to make the difference for the charity.
Yeah, and that is important, because it is for Samuel's charity. So remember, if you are someone who's thinking, I want to support this song, don't just stream it online. I mean, feel free to play it on Spotify when it comes out, but realistically, the money's going to be made for the charity by you buying the song, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is Podcast All-Stars with Sounds of Christmas, which is available to buy on Friday the 14th of December. And it starts off with a couple of voices that will be familiar to listeners of this podcast.
So we've had an email from Sam who says, I broke up with my girlfriend last Christmas. Now I can't face Christmas, and I'm thinking about her all the time.
Oh, I hear about so many relationships at Christmas time that end up making just like the turkey and being completely stuffed.
Out of my lonely bed in the morning.
Radio's on about global warming.
Rain is belted down the street. It's beginning to sound a lot like
That sounds really good.
It's great, isn't it?
It is really good.
It's so good. When we went into this challenge, just think.
No, you don't have to allow for me in this. I know I've claimed joint ownership, but this was you.
Yeah.
Don't say when we went into this challenge. I just read out an email.
Yeah, but I mean, we're in it now. You're Bono.
Yeah. No, well, actually, on that point, I'm not Bono, am I? Like,
no.
I wanted the big standout line.
Well, you made yourself stand out in
Yeah, because I can't sing.
So
you can clearly hear when it's me coming on.
Yeah, of course you can.
I'm distinct.
God, I can't believe you made us do that.
Standout line is obviously the guy going, inside my head. Who's that?
That's Michael Legg from Do the Right Thing.
Wow. It's good.
It might have gone through auto-tune a little bit, but I don't want to put him down.
Speaking of which, I couldn't hear you in it at all. Where are you?
Well, you know the bit where, you know where you tried to make me pronounce stew properly?
This is when we were recording this last week, and it was when you did the chorus, boil the chestnuts in, and when you say stew, you go stew, in this very bizarre sort of public schoolboy choir
stew.
Bit. Yeah.
I'm not in the first chorus in the bit that we just played, I'm in the second chorus. Do you want to hear that bit?
Well, you think I can pick out your voice in the second chorus?
You'll hear me.
Okay.
Here it is. So turn off the carols and jingle the bells, let's boil the chestnuts in stew. That's me.
That's clearly you, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you sang stew.
Yeah, but, you know, just want to make sure people can hear me.
So how else are we going to try and crack the charts, Ollie?
We're going to run an ad across a load of podcasts.
Well, doesn't that cost us money?
No.
Why? What? Why not?
Well, because we're going to try and persuade Acast to run the ad for us for free.
Oh, to insert an ad into other podcasts on the Acast network.
Yeah, and I'm going to try and emotionally blackmail you as well because I want you to voice it.
Oh, I feel like I'd be taking that away from you, Ollie. This is your project. Why do I get to step? Why does Billy Big Shits get to step in and do the voiceover at the last minute?
I'm not going
to
sell it. Your nice, beautiful, low dulcet tones will sell this beautiful Christmas number one.
Is that your Ollie Mann impression?
I'm Ollie Mann.
It's literally like just a man in a pub doing David Attenborough.
I think you should give it a bash as well. I've got the script here. Do you want to give it a go?
I'll look at it, yeah.
No, here we go.
No, I'm not going to do it now.
Yeah, do it. No, do it now.
You've written me a script?
Yes. Just read it. Radio 4, come on.
This is Sounds of Christmas, the charity single featuring some of your favourite podcasters. And all I'm doing a smile in my voice, that's important.
That, do you know what? I am melting inside. Yeah. Can you do that again? And I need it for the bath later.
Or I can do it again, but it's £50 for a pickup.
Sure.
And all in aid of Samuel's charity, Sounds of Christmas. Buy it now.
Get to the fast bit.
Oh, there's a disclaimer.
Yep.
You could stream it 100 times, but really it's easier to buy it because that helps us get into the charts and raise more money. Sounds of Christmas. Download it now.
That's not fast enough.
Right, okay.
Try and do it fast enough.
I'm not really comfortable with you directing me whilst we're recording a segment on our show.
Do one more time faster. Just do one more time faster.
Okay.
Like it's like you're selling carpets.
Okay, this is going to... Fuck you. Don't get Ollie Mann to sell your carpet. I'm the voice of the NASA Europe cartoons, thank you.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean, like, you know, the disclaimer when you buy a carpet.
Jupiter,
it's like,
whirling and fierce. That's me.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, don't expect it before Christmas Day, and it could also be a carcinogen. That kind of stuff.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll go one more time. You could stream it 100 times, but really it's easier to buy it because that helps us get into the charts and raise more money. Sounds of Christmas. Download it now.
See, you're really good at that. I've got a lot to learn, haven't I?
Well, you said it.
Week 9.
People have been tweeting me endlessly. People have been sending in their favourite lyrics.
What's nice is that people have been taking the opportunity to promote the single of their own accord as well. There was someone who was organising a gig in London and they even made a handmade sign with the Samuel's Charity logo on it to tell the audience that were coming to the gig to buy the song. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and the thing is because lots of people do charity singles for Christmas and other times of year, but the song is actually good.
Could be the proper title. We should have thought about that.
What, no one cares?
The Sounds of Christmas, open bracket, this song's actually good. In fact, whilst we're talking titles, can we be clear? Because we've said it both ways over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
The song is not Sounds of Christmas. The song is The Sounds of Christmas.
Yeah, and that's kind of my fault a little bit. So Philip Mark sent us a song called Sounds of Christmas.
Yeah, just sounds, no the.
Yeah. And then,
but including the lyrical hook, The Sounds of Christmas Remind Me of You.
And I started calling it The Sounds of Christmas.
I don't blame you for that.
And then when we were getting the artwork done for the single, Terry Saunders, who's the guy that did the artwork, he also put The Sounds of Christmas. And because that was the artwork associated with the track, we had to call it The Sounds of Christmas.
Okay. We've had a fan of the song, Ollie, get in touch and send us the following voicemail. It's a voice you may recognise.
Ooh.
Hi, this is Jim Taylor, occasional member of Reverend of the Makers and a long-term Man fan. I've been happily devouring Ollie Mann's output since 2007. I've just realised I've just said I've devoured Ollie Mann's output. Apologies for that image. I, as some of you more eagle-eared listeners will know, I was the one who sent the challenge for Ollie Peart to write the Christmas song, not quite expecting it would take on the life it has. I was inspired when I saw him put a clip of himself drumming on Twitter, so slightly disappointed that he didn't play drums on the final recording, although I have to say the drums are excellent. Also very pleased to hear that he realised that 12-8 isn't Umpapa, but it is the staple Christmas beat of da-dum, da-dum, da-dum-dum, used many times by Mariah Carey and Slade and Wizard and many others. Anyway, it's a wonderful tune. It's been stuck in my head for days now. I think it's got a good chance of making the top 40, if not higher than that. So big props to Ollie Peart and the rest of the team. Have a wonderful Christmas. I'll speak to you all soon. Goodbye.
Big props to Ollie Peart.
He talks about chart position there. Mm-hmm. And Jim, thank you for that. You're welcome to devour my output whenever you like.
Gross.
Why don't you update us on how it's been doing?
So since it was released, I've been keeping tabs on Amazon chart and
when you say tabs, you literally mean you've got 15 open tabs at all times.
Yeah, refresh, 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 right? And on Amazon, we got to number 4.
Did we?
And on iTunes, we got into the top 20. The top 20, Ollie.
Okay.
No, iTunes chart. No, come on. No, listen.
No, you listen to me. Whose show is this?
Whoa.
Now, that is really impressive. Genuinely is that for a moment, we were number 4 in the Amazon charts. Mm-hmm. But that is one moment in time, isn't it? The chart gets refreshed a lot. And that's just about one platform. That's just about Amazon. It's just at that moment in time in this country, we were the 4th most popular song for people to download on that platform, right?
Yeah. I'm talking it down here a bit,
Ollie. No. I'm just being honest. I wanted to find out where we were actually placed in the overall download chart.
Okay.
Because the download chart itself is then only part of the overall top 40 that gets compiled, right? So mm-hmm. at the end of the week, the official chart company tot together the download chart together with the streaming chart. And correct me if I'm wrong here, 100 streams is worth one download, and then there's CD and vinyl sales to factor in as well.
That's right.
So it's hard to know where we are even in the overall chart, but I thought where we are in the official download chart,
yeah,
you know, would give us a steer. And Ollie Peart, I can tell you that you are inside not the top 40, but the top 30.
Ooh, that is good.
Really a thing, is it? People tend to talk 40 or 20, but still, you're at 29. And I genuinely think that's amazing. Because it does mean almost certain, I don't know how it's going to work out with streams. A lot of people are streaming Last Christmas by Wham this time of year.
Sure.
You'd still think that would mean that Jim's right, we're going to be in that Christmas top 40.
But when they compile the rest of the stuff, that could then change.
So it could, because there could be 20 things that are more popular than that on streaming sites.
Yeah, gotcha.
That aren't even available to download.
Okay.
And some people have been writing in to say they've not heard that beautiful ad that I made last week live on the show. That was going to be inserted on other podcasts in the Acast network. What's going on there?
The advert does exist, and the advert will start going out on the Acast network across the podcasts that were involved and others that have opted in. And because you wouldn't let me play the drums on the record, I'm not letting you do the advert.
Right.
So I've decided to get somebody else to do it.
Wow, that's not humble pie, that's fuck you pie.
Yeah, that's a big, fat fuck you pie.
So,
do you want to eat it?
Yeah, sure, I'm ready to eat it.
Sure.
Feed me in my ears.
This is The Sounds of Christmas. So the charity single featuring your favourite podcasters. And all in aid of Samuel's charity. The Sounds of Christmas. Buy it now. You could stream it 100 times, but really it's easier to buy it because that helps get it into the charts and raise more money.
Fuck off! Have you got Mark Goodyear doing our ads?
Mark Goodyear.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
How good is that?
That's the best thing you've ever done.
Radio royalty.
I'm in awe.
Yeah, you're sweating. You're really excited.
No, I'm really excited. But come on, if you're going to get a voiceover guy, like, no one's better than that for a chart-based thing.
So you don't feel bad about it then?
No!
Good,
I was going to be replaced by anybody.
No, I didn't feel bad about Kylie's drummer either.
I'll tell you what, like, even if you'd got, like, Peter Dixon, you know, like the X Factor guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, him.
Even if you'd got that, on the show, I'd have to be like, oh, wow, Peter Dixon. But inside, I'd be thinking, oh, it's a bit crass.
Yeah, because he does, like, PPI ads.
You know? You got the fucking Goodyear.
Yeah, there you go.
That's amazing.
So that'll be going out. So if you listen to
No, it's over. I don't want to talk anymore. It's all done. That's
so
the best
one.
Thing ever.
So how can
I don't
you...
care. Like, that is the best thing that's happened on this show.
All right.
The international listeners have no idea why I'm so excited about this. But anyway, he was the sound of the charts for
he was.
Well, for our entire lives.
And he does the Now adverts.
Yeah, he still does Now That's What I Call Music.
Yeah. Which I think most people recognise his voice from that now.
Yeah. I wish you could have got him to say... And now that's what I call a Christmas single, but I imagine that would be burdened with all kinds of legal
problems. It
doesn't
matter how good the thing is that I do.
No.
You still find a way to just talk it down.
No, ever so slightly. That's really
good. Well, it was good, but...
No, Ollie,
no,
I'll be clear with you.
Banning that word from you.
That's much better than everything else you've ever done.
Collectively.
And that essentially is where the story ended if you were listening to the podcast in 2018. But it isn't where the story ended, is it, Ollie? Because Christmas happened.
It did.
And the chart came out.
The chart came out and there was news from that chart. We were in it. We weren't just in it, we were number...
Well, we were just in it.
Okay, fine. But we were number 38. 8 in the download chart.
In the download chart, which isn't the chart that's the official one that includes the CDs and the streaming.
Don't sound so disparaging.
I'm not. I'm just being honest.
You kind of did.
No, it's important to have the journalistic facts.
Sure.
We got to number 38 in the download chart.
Top 40.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
You were tasked with doing a Christmas hit.
Which
you made a Christmas hit.
I did. And it wasn't just that, but the response from our listeners was incredible. Loads of people tweeting about it. Also, the podcast that we got involved with were tweeting about it, Do the Right Thing and The Guilty Feminist.
Yes, Deborah Francis White actually DM'd me on Twitter the week that it came out, so like 3 days before Christmas, to ask if we could put together all of the podcasters that had sung on the single to appear at her live recording of The Guilty Feminist at the Lyric in Hammersmith, to appear with a live band and sing the song. And I thought, on the one hand, that would be amazing for everyone who took part to actually sing on a big stage in front of an audience of thousands. And then I thought, oh my God, that's going to sound terrible without autotune. And how are we going to get everyone from around the country to come and do it? So we didn't do that. But it was amazing that she was prepared to support it to that level.
Yeah, the sentiment there, which was great. But there was one thing that was missing from it. We didn't have, like every top 40 hit needs, a video.
Yes, and you put together the video free of charge.
Yeah, I basically put the word out on Twitter. I gave people 24 hours notice to send me clips of them reciting our song.
Yeah.
And then the idea was that I would just...
Lip sync, I believe, is the technical term.
That's exactly what the technical term
is. Yeah, and so if you want to watch the video, and it is a bit odd because if you don't know anything about the show or the song, it's just like, what is going on? But if you want to see the video that Ollie made from Man fans, listeners to the show who are enthusiastic about the song, lip syncing along, go to your YouTube channel, right? It's still there.
Yeah, my YouTube channel, Ollie Peart. Just search Ollie Peart on YouTube, you'll find it.
And of course, it is now Christmas again, because that is how the calendar works.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are beginning to listen to it again in 2019.
Of course they are.
I've just had this tweet, actually, from John Howell, who says, "The Sounds of Christmas just popped up on a playlist of mine. Since last Christmas, I've separated from my wife, and my father passed away. It's a totally different song this year, but strangely, it is getting me out of my grump and into a good Christmas spirit. Good job."
Oh, that's really nice.
He tweeted that on the 3rd of December this year.
Oh, that's lovely.
Which is, that's how you know that a Christmas song has cut through, isn't it? It becomes some people, I mean, admittedly a small amount of people, but some people's Christmas tradition.
I love it. I still love listening to it.
And because lyrically it does have some depth and profundity.
Because I wrote it.
It is, it's just a, you know, a completely pointless frippery.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And we've got a reason for you to buy it all over again.
Yeah, we do, because we have remixed the song for 2019 to include all the artists and musicians that we couldn't get in our first effort because time limitations
deadlines.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So people contributed musically but weren't on the finished record, but
yeah,
now they are.
Because we didn't have enough time. Yeah, okay. So it's called The Sounds of Christmas 2019 Mix.
Excellent. And we will put a link to that in the blog post to this episode on our website, modernmanwith2ends.co.uk. We'll put a link to Ollie's video for the song as well. And of course, a link to Samuel's charity so you can donate to them this Christmas too. And remember,
you could stream it 100 times, but really it's easier to buy it because that helps get it into the charts and raise more money.
But that's not all. You will probably be wondering exactly how much money we've raised through this enterprise.
Yeah, and I wanted to find out as well. So I spoke to Martin and asked him to send us an update.
Hi, Ollie and all the Modern Man listeners. Thank you so much for your support. So far, we've raised over £1,200 from the proceeds from the song. And from the donations from the podcast, the interview, we've raised over £6,500. From this money, we did quite a few things. One of the most important things that we did that has made a huge impact on thousands of kids' lives was buying an Accuvane. We support different wards with other items as well. For instance, we buy craft equipment, TVs, tablets, iPads, games, books, DVDs, players, things that you think would always be supplied by the hospitals, but are just not. There's many, many wards that get a lot of support, but we look after the ones that don't. But our work is not done. There are hundreds of thousands of kids each year that are in hospital fighting serious and terminal conditions. My son Sam knew how hard it was dealing with this. Going through this is an awful time. And anything that we can do to help them, especially at this time of year, means a great deal. So if you could spare a few pounds, please buy the song or donate at samuelscharity.co.uk. Alternatively, if you feel like joining in with some of the events that we do, we would really love you to join us. Thank you and Merry Christmas.
Oh,
there you go, Ollie. You've done a good thing in your life.
That was amazing.
And so did you, if you bought the song. And if you didn't, then buy the song now. Ollie, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you. We will be back with a brand new season of The Modern Man for 2020, which starts, like all our episodes do, on the first of the month. Easy to remember. So New Year's Day, there will be a new episode of The Modern Man right there in your podcast feed and at modernmanwith2ns.co.uk. I've been Ollie Mann, the producer, Matt Hill, and thank you to Louise Adams and Danny Linder at Rethink Audio for their help behind the scenes getting our Christmas singles together. See you next year.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.